The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
In here it says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're just not somebody, my friend. You're a powerful somebody in God's eyes that God wants to use. And some of us are being used, at times not even knowing that God is using you. And God is here. And He's across the street. And He's everywhere. And He's going to do great things because He won't move us just to move us. He wants the walls to come down. We can wall up as Christians. The theme is slightly off what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the body of Christ, the church. It's not the building, it's the people. We are the church. They are a church, but we're all one. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this great morning. We love You. This is Your day, the Lord's day. This is the first day of the Christian's day of the week. This is Sunday morning, Your day, God. My week doesn't start Monday. My week starts today, Sunday, Your day, God. And You carry us through the rest of the week. So we thank You for this morning, God. Speak to us, move through us, change us, transform us, God. We love You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be reading out of the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk. I like picking strange books. Books that are hardly looked at, read, or even contemplated about. But there's stories in there too that apply. Amen? If you're not awake right now, you're going to be awakened in 10 minutes. Once this motor gets going, the Holy Ghost Spirit in here. Habakkuk chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 17 through 19. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Reads like this. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fall, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, the God of my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my hills. Amen. As I read that, and as I studied on the least likely, we can almost say or think Remnant Church would be the least likely chosen to move and do the things for God. But we're wrong. God will take the smallest and make it huge. But it's going to take people to do that. Not ordinary people like you think you are this morning. Not the most likely. You are the indicated person in this building this morning to do God's work. At any level. Be it in school. Be it at work. Or be it in your ministry. You've been chosen. And Habakkuk was going through some things through here. You see, anyone can buy a boat. But very few are called to build an ark. And think about that situation. God will come and tell you, build me an ark. Where do I get the wood, Lord? I don't see no helpers here. You're that person. Don't think of you small that you can't. Whatever situation you're facing, There's an ark awaiting to be built through you in your life. Great big things. See, God is always developing from scratch. And there are times you will scratch your head and wonder, where's this God that's supposed to help me through this? Well, he's right there, my friend. And sometimes you will have to scratch and scrape to survive. But he's right there. It says in this word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, God is always going to do new things through these struggles. He's always developing a newness in your life and mine. And God can do it and will do it. But God is just asking you to trust him, to stand in that faith of truth. And know that you've been chosen. Know that you're just not an ordinary person. That you are a child, a son, and daughter of the living God. That's who we are, folks. I see so many Christians walking around like this. Hey, brother, sister, you're okay? I'm all fine. I'm great, yeah. I'm great. You're not. You can have that joy and fire and passion. Because you need to know who you belong to. First, you belong to God. And of course, our parents birthed us into this life, but not because they planned it. God predestined us. You're predestined, all of you. From 14 or 12 all the way to whatever the number goes up in here. And I don't want to offend no one. Because I ain't that young. Young ones, teenagers, you're chosen. You're chosen. He has plans for you. And for you. And for you. You guys are the next church. You guys are the next example. But it's going to take us older folks, the parents, the leaders, the examples, to amplify that and embed it and seed it in them. Show them you love church and you want to be a part of. Show them at home. Don't go home and talk about other churches or ridicule other Christians. Pray for them instead of beat them down. This message was hard for me, so now it's your turn. I had to take it in for a couple of weeks. I took a beating. So here's Habakkuk, one of the few books in the Bible that opens up with complaining. Chapter 1, chapter 2, he's complaining. See, it does not begin with dealing with God's grace. It does not begin with celebrating our Savior. It does not begin by praising our God or honoring the power of the Holy Spirit. No, it begins with complaining. Look at Habakkuk 1, 2. Habakkuk chapter 1, the very beginning. Look at verse 2. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Violence is everywhere. I cry out to you and you do not come to save. You don't listen. It reminds me of that video that went viral with that little boy. Listen, listen, Linda, honey, listen, listen. You don't listen. And that sounds like me. I'm telling God, God, you don't listen. Listen, God, listen. The whole time he's listening. We're the ones that are so dry and pale in our prayer, doubting. Jesus says, pray as it is. I'm going to make it. I'm going to get through this. This church is going to move. And we're going to hopefully work with other churches and knock these walls down. I pray we're the last churches before Christ comes back, that we all come together and meet and gather and worship and praise and fellowship. Amen. Amen? We're it, guys. Jesus is coming back soon. And it's not to scare you. It's to be ready. We need to be united. I spoke with their pastor across the street this morning. We prayed together. He told me the same thing. He goes, Frank, you guys didn't come over here for nothing. We're not over there for nothing. God's going to do something big. I go, yes, he is. We believed it and prayed it. And we're going to continue to pray that. You are not an ordinary person. You were likely and predestined by God. Amen? I don't want you to sit there pious and sanctimonious and say, oh, I've never said that before. I never complain to God. You're a liar. You got to go to the corner for timeout. We've all hit those moments, guys. We've all had those little moments where we said, how long, Lord? How long must I wait? Can you hear me? I have a red t-shirt. I haven't worn it here, but it has a cross and says, can you hear me now? Like the commercial, get it? Really, God is telling us, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? You know why we can't hear him? We're too busy with self. We're too busy worrying and doubting and being afraid. Folks, when you wake up or you go outside at night, look at creation. There's a God, our God, that just spoke it. And it was. That's the God we serve. How should we be afraid? How can we doubt when we see it with our own eyes? Look at the lives in here, including mine, that he's transformed. Look at the power it took to change us and woo us here and draw us here to love on Jesus. He's powerful. I know there's many of you in here that have been transformed. Your marriage is being worked on and lives changed. Loved ones that have been delivered from whatever. Marriage problems, drugs, finances, you name it. You're out there. I know you are. And you're probably seeing some go through it. Pray for them. Let's not be like Habakkuk and complain. See, when everything goes wrong in life, it can be rough. And it can be rough. We just read it. Look at Habakkuk 3:17, our opening text, the very verse in 17. Habakkuk 3:17 says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crops fail and the fields are empty and barren, even though the flocks die and the fields and the cattle barns are empty. It's right there. You know what that picture is? It's a perfect picture that will trouble. That did trouble Habakkuk. Those two things. There's two things that trouble Habakkuk right there. And it will trouble any church of worship. It will trouble any home that serves God. Two things. What is it? A, this is one. The fig trees, grapes, olives, and fields are symbolic for an annual income. And the second one is sheep and cattle are symbolic for adequate resources. And we've all been there. But how will you deal with it? How will you deal when prosperity turns into poverty? When good times turn into hard times? When aspirations turn into adversities? When blessings feel like burdens? When you struggle? And how you think a church should run when you see your church doing services that doesn't fit your criteria? That one hurt. Because there's sometimes I could be spiritually, politically correct up here and try to tell Jeremiah and Jerry how to do things. When God's using them before me at times. When I need you to be humble and do what they say. Lead with them. Not over them. Not push them to the side and say, I'm the man. Come together. We all struggle with issues like that. Why was it Habakkuk was going through all this then? Why? Why did God allow this? Why does he allow it to us? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. And I put it simple. Why did Habakkuk go through this? And I'll tell you this in the love of Christ. Stop complaining and start being a part of. Stop complaining and start contributing. Stop complaining and start getting conformed to the things of God. And you'll see how you want to serve in the church and work for God. See, folks. Those 22 years of my drug lifestyle and the alcohol and the drugs, I didn't believe in God. I didn't know about God. But boy, when he came in, he started changing some things in here. He gave me new eyes. Well, I'm praying for new ones now, so I don't need glasses, but he gave me spiritual eyes. Eyes to see people that they have a need. Eyes to see that a church needs help. Churches are dying, folks. Because they're trying to build walls and their rules and regs and their politics. I pray many other pastors and churches hear this sermon if it's recorded on their airwave. I've prayed for this sermon all week because it's not easy to come against other churches that might hear this sermon. But it's God's word. Jesus wants one church. He's coming back for one body. We're one synagogue. So how will we deal with it? Why was he dealing with it? Because he was complaining. So if my first point is this. Habakkuk needed to deal with his defeated dialogue. Defeated dialogue. We need to deal with that, folks. First of all, what's coming out of your mouth? Stop that negative thinking and talking. Stop speaking defeated and start speaking I can. Victory. I never thought I could get up here and preach, but God had better plans. And I humbled myself and I served the pastors and the schools that trained me up through the power of the Holy Spirit. And here I am speaking to you God's love, God's power that can transform you as well. And he wants to use you. Habakkuk 1, verse 2 and 4. We'll read them over and over. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere. I cry out to you, but you do not come save. Verse 4, must I forever see these evil deeds? Must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. You know why I chose verse 2 and verse 4? You know how many times I found I in there? If you look at it closely. I think there were 7. I. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about what God's doing through us and wants to do. You're all called to serve in a church at some level. You're not ordinary people. You're the most likely God already chose. You just got to follow it. Go after it. Go after it like you hunger for whatever you're into, videos and movies or games. Use that same drive, that same passion. That same passion you see me drum with is the same passion God uses to preach and study and witness and go visit people when I'm tired and I don't want to go. I go anyway because it's His drive, His passion in me. And you need to go with that kind of drive. Start putting some things aside. Pray about it. Deal with your defeated dialogue. We can stand there all day long and say, my, yai. Ay, 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 ay. Some of you know that Mexican song. I can't translate it, so I won't say it. Ay, 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 canta y no llores. There it is. Ay, 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 sing, don't cry. Quit being a big crybaby. That's what he's saying. He's just saying, ay, ay, ay. See, the first thing we do, we start speaking defeated dialogue. We tell God, you know what? I can't believe they decided to do church that way. How can they do it like that? No, we're going to have our own group. We're going to do church our way. They should go to scriptures and see how church is done biblically. Where they gathered in a synagogue. Not in a Mormon church or a Catholic church or a Christian church or on and on and on. They just gathered in a synagogue, a building. This place is not holy. God's presence makes it holy. You're not holy. God makes you holy. He's transforming us, folks. And if you're here for the first time or just visiting, this works for you too. Take it with you wherever you congregate or live or work. God's word is alive, penetrating. It cuts to the bone, to the marrow, to the soul, it says. Take it. Chapter 1, we find this. Before I get there, it says, we begin to speak the last words of a dying church. These are the last words of a dying church. We never did it that way before. We never did it that way before. Churches will fall apart on those words. Because it's about I. It's about them. It's about how they want it. People will leave. Why don't you just humble yourself and let God speak to you where you're at? Instead of running from your church, run to the leaders. Run to your knees and ask God how wrong a church can be wherever you're serving. Let Him show you. Those are the last 7 words of a dying church. And in chapter 1 of Habakkuk, we find criticism instead of evangelism. We find criticizing more than evangelizing. We find more sour than power, more bitterness than blessing. If a church is going to grow to its potential heights and depths, it needs to stop defeated dialogue. Look at this place today. We put a word out. We're moving. Come visit us. I think we're all here. I'm missing a few. I'm going to call them. Or text. I text a lot. I hardly call. If you ever need to get a hold of me, shoot me a text. I will answer the text more than the call. I have a busy life at work and after work, but I work a lot of hours. Shoot me a text between work. I can sneak them. I love texting, Frank, pray for me. That's all I need to hear from you. And I'll pray. Trust me. I'll go hide behind that paddle rocket. Lord Jesus, help him, whatever it is. I do it. Honestly. God's my witness, folks. I do. Now I have the privilege to sit on my desk because my boss will walk in sometimes. You know what, Frank? My little son broke his arm last week. Can you pray for his arm? You want to pray now? Sure. He takes off his hat and I'll pray for his son, my boss that doesn't believe. Amen? You're not ordinary people. You've all been likely chosen by God. All of you in this room. Stop the defeated dialogue. Stop the defeated. How do we do that? How do we do that? Look at Isaiah 54, 17. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Deuteronomy 28, 13. I am the head, not the tail. Deuteronomy 28, 12. I am the lender, not the borrower. 1 John 4, 4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Genesis 50 and 20. You meant it for my evil. God is working it for my good. Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You want to give me some kind of excuse? Take those verses and practice them. Brothers and sisters, I've prayed all week. I've searched the scriptures for this sermon. I get on my face before God so that he would speak to you, that he would speak through Jeremiah and Jerry, and you guys would see the need and grab it from your heart and let the Holy Spirit use you. You're not ordinary. I'm sorry, I wear these shirts a lot, not today, but you're not from this world. We're not to be conformed to it. You're a creation and transformed, and you're a new creation in Christ. Let's start living it. Amen? You're not here just because. You've been likely chosen. Here's a good virtue when God allows us to go through the fire. I'm going to read it slowly so some of you can write it down. When God allows you to go through the fire. God keeps his hand on the thermostat of heat, but he keeps his eye on the clock. God keeps his hand on the thermostat, turning up the fire in our lives, sometimes more than others, but he's watching the clock. Some of us need to be in there a little longer. Amen? Think of that picture when you're going through stuff. Oh, God, it's hot in here. It's God. Woo! I'm going to get through this, God. You know why I'm going to get through this, God? Because you're right here with me. I serve a good church, God, and you're going to use me. I'm not an ordinary person. You've likely distinctly and spiritually chosen me. I'm here, God. It's hot. But I trust you. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to listen to those people that are trying to elude me. Corrupt my thoughts of how a church should be ran. I'm going to listen to the church and the pastors and congregate. Amen? Remember that virtue. No more defeated talk, folks. I talk to a lot of people. I counsel, oh, Frank, this and that. Just their body. Your body action. Guys, I go through stuff, but I have my chin up. Because I know who's walking next to me. I know who's got this. I have a boss that's in my face. I have Christians, brothers, and sisters from other areas that can be pretty. But I'm God's there. I'm not going to walk defeated anymore because I'm more than victorious in Christ. Amen. You're more than conquerors. And you walk all defeated. All lemon face. I'm sorry. I've told you about that brother in Christ I had years ago. For 6 years I told him, dude, smile. Jesus loves you. I am smiling. I'm smiling inside. No, you're not. Now he's a missionary all over the world. And he came to me when I first saw him at one of his deals at Jeremiah's Youth for Christ one night. Frank, you were right. No, I wasn't. Jesus was right. And now he's always like this, smiling. The Holy Spirit lives in us. If you're a Christian in this room and you said, Jesus, come into my heart, that fire should be going. Fan it. How do you fan it? Get on your knees, pray, trust, go through those trials. Don't think it's strange. Oh, I can't believe this is happening. Paul said, you already know. You know why it's happening. And then secondly, you should go, okay, God, I forgot, you got this. You're only God. Amen? No more defeated dialogue. Second point, for a church to flourish, or a body of Christ and gatherers and believers to flourish, is this. Devise a direction. Devise a direction. What I mean by that? Well, let's read scripture and let God tell us. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. Verse 2 says this, and the Lord said to me, write an answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. Verse 3, this vision is of a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. It seems slow in coming. Wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Verse 4, look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. but the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. God is saying, you know what, slow down, write it down if you have to. And that's what I've been doing lately, studying the sermon. And actually, 2 days ago in my office, I kid you not, I'm doing my job like I try to. And God speaks and verses come up. I'm right there doing my job. I do this because I work with a computer, sorry, I do this. And then he says, stop, Frank, and start writing. I don't know if you're in my Bible study group this Wednesday, but you're in for a treat. God, I wrote down what's going to happen Wednesday night because he showed me. And I pray you're there Wednesday in Brawley. It's going to be powerful. I don't know what's going to happen, but I wrote down everything he wants me to do, and I'm going to do it exactly how I wrote it down because he spoke to me. It's not from me. You know what he said in a nutshell? If my people would humble themselves and pray. He just wants you to pray and trust him. Don't walk around defeated. That's the plan. He wants you to slow down. Look around. Make a plan. We don't know what tomorrow has, but God does. So if you walk in that trust, you'll get there. He'll get you there. And then after you're done complaining and pouting and saying, you know, listen. Sit down and start writing. Start meditating. Think about what God's done in your life. Amen? Do some planning. And this is the main one. Decide to start serving God. Do what he says. Do what he says. Do what he says. Not just comment and complain. A lot of us can throw out some good words. But can you back it up? Oh, I love Jesus. I want to serve God. But you're not even serving your church, let alone in your home. Amen? No more defeated dialogue. Devise the direction and plan God has for you. See, many today serve the church with the McDonald's philosophy. What do I mean by that? I know there's a few youngsters in here, and I used to love McDonald's. What happens when you tell the kids, you're going to McDonald's? Woohoo! Clean your room. Fold your clothes. Like bionic people. They do it like this. See, we want to serve our church. We want to serve Jesus with a McDonald's philosophy. If it's something in there for you that you like, you'll do it. If it's not, maybe not. I'm cool. No. You're likely been chosen by God. You're not ordinary. You've been chosen by God. You all have something in you. God wants to use you in your church. Amen? Don't use a McDonald's philosophy. It's not good. Did that stick figure make it up there, Jeremiah? This is how some ministries look when we've come to God. Well, I couldn't do it in English, but here it is. A sister asked me about Spanish. There you go, sister. There's some Spanish for you. This is the line that people want blessings. Look at that line. Woohoo! Give me. My name is Jimmy. This is the line that they just want a spiritual blessing. This is the line of prayer. And this is the line of the work for God. This is the line that people serve in their church and work. Go on the internet, Google it, YouTube it, whatever you want. I've done it for many years. And ask the question, who does most of the work in the churches? 80% of the work is done by 20% of the staff. Proven over and over. That's that line right there. My prayer is that remnant... that all these people could come over here. And then God starts moving here. You seen it? You start serving here, getting in this line for God, then he starts opening these windows and doors of your life. Amen? See, God is not a genie that you rub him and only when you want him and want things. He's not a microwave. I want it now. He had people in the desert for 40 years. He made a man wait 7 years and 7 years more for a wife. Before you're about to get married, including myself. It's hard. In a nutshell, I'm saying it's not going to be easy, but God's going to do it. You got to firmly believe that. Have that plan in your heart. You all have desires, but what's blocking it is you. Yourself, your attitude, your pride, your negligence, your arrogance. Your I got this, no one can tell me how to do it attitude. That's not going to fly with God. He wants to strip and break that all off of us and start new, start from scratch. Amen? And when you start getting in that first line over here in the far right to serve God, He'll start moving in your life and the things you really need. Amen? Third point and last. Be dedicated even in the drought. Be dedicated even in the drought. As we read our opening text, Habakkuk chapter 3, one of the last chapters in the book in the Bible of his life, is that he was dedicated even through the doubt after God showed him what was going to take place. And we just read it this morning. And I'm going to read Habakkuk 3, 17 through 18 says this, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crops fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty. Verse 18 is the key, folks. This is where we all should be. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. We need to focus on the things He's doing in your life and how it's done to get you forward and not focus on the negative things that you're facing. Amen? Amen. That's what's going to get you up ahead. That's what's going to move you through the moving of God's Spirit. Because if you're doing it in the flesh and in self, pride and arrogance, you're not going to get there. And you might be getting there, but it's going to be really bumpy and really rough. As a Christian, it's not going to be easy, but it's a little smoother. Because you can smile through it. And not go forward with that lemon face person. Remember that one? You can smile through it. Amen? You be dedicated in the drought. See, Habakkuk decided, if I'm going to prosper, if I'm going to do this, I ain't going to have to learn to praise God. I'm going to have to learn to praise the Lord. Habakkuk does not praise God because of what happened. Habakkuk chose to praise God in spite of what happened. That's the difference. That's the difference. A prospering church is a praising church. And to reach its potential, it must learn to praise the Lord and serve God. When you praise the Lord, here we go. You can turn your problems into praise, your complaints into confidence. Trembling turns to triumph. Your money might be funny and your change might be strange. Your blood pressure might be high and your self-esteem low. But I have made up my mind. I will praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. God can do it, folks. God can do it. And my question is this, as I put in my last note in closing. If the worship team would come up, please. My question to you is this. Is there any praise left in the church? Is there any praise left in you in what you're facing and praise Him anyway? Is there? I think I have one more slide and I put this. 7 reasons why I praise the Lord every chance I get. 7 reasons I praise God of why you see this smile 24/7 because it's of Jesus. I put them down. 7 reasons. There it is. He's been good to me. 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 And He's been good to me. Amen. Amen. Yeah, give Him a clap. It's God. What more do you want to hear? He's good. We can be rotten. We can be judgmental. But you've been likely chosen. We serve a powerful God that's doing something in you, through you, for you, and about you. See? You need to remember who you belong to. You belong to Elohim, Yahweh, Abba, Greek and Hebrew terms of our glorious, mighty God. Amen? He wants us to make this church, our new facility, flourish, folks. Start knocking some walls down. Start putting your pride down. And I encourage you, in the love of Christ, start serving. Ask any leader where they need help. We'll start making lists. God needs you. Not really, but He wants you to serve. God doesn't need nobody, but He would love to see His children proudly serving their body. Amen. Let's stand up and pray.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.